It's Saturday morning, an unusual time for the Sim Racing Podcast, but that's the great thing about podcasting. You can do it whenever your guests are available. This is the Sim Racing Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Dreis. We are live right now on Twitch, twitch.tv/Greg Dreis. You can also catch us later on YouTube. And then after we download the audio and do all that electronic stuff, we upload to Spotify, TuneIn, Google Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, and early next year, somehow, we'll be on Sirius XM. We were on Stitcher, and Stitcher was owned by Sirius XM, but they said anybody that had a podcast on Stitcher will be on Sirius XM. At least it sounds good. Special guests today are Chris Mayo and Brett Vinson. They are from the BMRL e-racing series, and we're going to talk about their league and get you some information on that if you want to race with these guys. But the main thing we're going to talk about is these guys have a really cool fundraising event coming up on December 9th. So that's December 9th, 7 p.m. Central Time, 8 p.m. the green flag drops. It's a race for Toys for Tots. And the cool thing is all proceeds go to Toys for Tots. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce Chris Mayo. He's the owner of BMRL e-racing series, and his other league member that's with us this morning is Brett Vinson. Good morning, guys. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Not too bad. I'm not sure where you guys are, but right now I am freezing up here. It's about 45 degrees. Just south of Albany, New York, with about a 20-mile-an-hour wind. Yesterday or 2 days ago, it was 65 and sunny. Welcome to the weather in New York in November.
Ooh, that's rough. We're sitting about 58 right now down here in Alabama. So.
Oh, that's not too bad. Whereabouts in Alabama?
I am about a hour east of Huntsville, Alabama.
Okay.
Nice. And I'm actually from Southern Kentucky. It's about 50 degrees here as well.
Yeah, we're close to 50, but we got that cold, biting wind, and we're supposed to have our first killing for us tonight, which is about 3 weeks late. So I got some plants out in the garden I got to get to. Chris, why don't you tell me about BMRL Racing League and your truck series that you sent me the video on the other night? When did it start? What's the league all about? How do you join if anybody's interested? And, you know, any of the details you want to throw out there?
So BMRL, it originated from my team name. I started sim racing back in December of 2020. I raced in my first, the officials.
Yep.
And didn't really do too well. I was getting wrecked all the time and decided, hey, I'm going to look at these league things.
Yeah.
You know, what are these leagues all about? And I joined one, kind of liked how it was, had some, you know, there's always those issues with some leagues. And I decided that, hey, I'm going to give it a shot and create my own. And so back in June, I started that whole process. I turned my team into a league, and I just started promoting it through social media.
Cool.
And we kicked off our very first race July 30th, I think it was. And that season was a 16 race season, and it just ended here last Monday. And it's just been going really, really well. And now we have two different series. They're both truck series. One's a promotional series.
Mm-hmm.
And then one is like for our highly competitive great drivers series.
Oh, cool. So do you run a playoff format? Do you do stages? How do the points work in your leagues?
So our first season, our original only season that we had that we just finished, it was just kind of like I had no idea what I was doing when I did it. So I just threw a bunch of tracks in there.
There you go.
Made this wild point system, and it was just this whole, like, not your typical cookie cutter league.
Yep.
And then going into the second season in our A trucks, We actually were doing the whole, we did the whole chase last season.
Yep.
We're going to do that chase situation again this coming season, as well as we are going to do stage breaks. If you win a race, you're automatically in the playoffs. However, we're going to do the top 15 drivers are in the playoffs on the first round instead of only 12 like NASCAR does.
Yeah, sounds pretty good. And when does the second season start? And if it has started, are you still taking new members?
Second season starts on this coming Monday, actually. So here in two more days, we have our duels. As far as our second season, we're full on that one. But we do have a B-Trucks, which is like our promotional our series. Mm-hmm. So we promote that one all the time on social media.
Oh, okay.
You can find us on Facebook at Beard Motorsports Racing League or BMRLE Racing. There's a Discord invite that you can join this. We have three different Discords. We have one where everybody kind of meets from all series. You pick your number, you give iRacing name, details. Everyone can have fun in general chat. And then we kind of branch out to like our B-Trucks Discord, our A-Trucks Discord.
Cool.
So A or B-Trucks is on to race four, but it's 4 out of 20 mm-hmm. with no playoff structure or anything. It's just that final race.
Yep.
At Phoenix is our championship race. So anyone can join and there's plenty of time to possibly win a championship in there.
Yep. So it's just the straight points for the B series. There's no playoffs, et cetera, like that. It's just whoever has the most points at the end of the season.
Correct. Yep.
Okay. And difference in qualifying for the B series or your A series, is that based on safety rating, I rating? What's the difference between the two? And if I do really well in the B series, how do I get into the A series?
Right. So upon entering the league, B series is open to anybody, rookie through pro. Lowest safety rating to the highest, it's open to just anybody.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
We like to keep everyone funneling through that one on an entrance into the league. But if we mm-hmm. start seeing, hey, like this guy's doing really, really good in the B trucks, the A truck teams all have one hot seat. So during this, your first season in the B trucks, you can possibly get a hot seat in the A truck race on Monday night. That's kind of like fill out, you know, if, you know, how you drive with the guys in the A trucks, because the B trucks have fast repairs, whereas in our A trucks, we actually are going to have zero fast repairs.
Okay.
So it's kind of like a, you know, do or die checkers or wreckers such a situation.
yeah.
So yeah, I mean, it's in order to get into our A truck series, we typically we're wanting 1,000 I rating or an A or a B class. Have over 1K and they're A or B.
Mm-hmm.
Are typically your cleaner drivers, whereas you know, not to really like, you know, group people, but you know, usually the ones that have been on for years and are rookies are typically the people that, you know, they need a little bit more practice to run with everybody.
Yeah, it took me. I've been on iRacing for about 7 years, and I think it. And I knew nothing about driving a car. You know, I mean, of course, I could drive on a road, but I never. I'm a race fan, but never knew what it was like to sit in the seat and, you know, hitting the right apex and such like that. And, oh, if you don't hit it right, you will hit the wall. So I think it took me about a year to get from rookie to A class. And now I don't even do the officials anymore. I did a couple of ARCA officials last week for just because there was nothing else to do. But if I'm going to get on anything that's not in the league, I'll just jump on the pickup truck series or the carb series because that you're in and out in half an hour. And if you get wrecked, it's no big deal. But if you invest all that time to get into an official and, you know, it's qualifying and practice and, you know, you're tied up for an hour and you get wrecked on the first lap and then you're screwed and your safety rating's gone and your I rating's gone. So I don't really bother with the officials much. So I don't blame you there. Brett, how did you find BMRL? E-Series Racing, and what's your racing background?
So I came over with Chris when he started the league.
Yep.
Me and Chris were in a prior league together, and me and Chris are buddies and found out, hey, he was coming over starting this, so I come over and joined him here. Try to help him out where I can here. My background, I grew up 20 minutes down the road from Talladega Super Speedway.
Oh, lucky you.
Oh, yeah. So my whole family was race fans. We went to races and stuff. I got into iRacing in 2020 during the COVID years.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was part of that mass influx of people during COVID that got on iRacing.
There was a bunch, yep.
Before that, I was on NASCAR Heat and whatever on PlayStation.
Yeah.
Fun fact, I actually work part-time for NASCAR also.
Oh, no kidding.
In the safety areas.
Oh, cool.
I'm a full-time paramedic. This is my full-time job. And I work part-time with NASCAR on pit and garage fire and EMS.
Oh, that's cool.
So, yeah.
So you do that at Talladega, or do you go to other tracks if needed?
I do it at Talladega mostly, but I do have the option to go to any other track of my choosing.
Oh, have you exercised that option yet?
Talladega's the funnest one, so why go anywhere else where I can have fun there, right?
That's true. So you're waiting to find another fun track and exercise that option to go help out.
Oh, yeah.
That's cool. We've got... New York has a lot of dirt tracks, and we generally go to those. So when I say about where I live, I'm in the middle of nowhere, but it's close to everything. It's like 5 miles to the nearest store, if you can believe living in New York, and there's no store within 5 miles because I'm at the foot of the Catskill Mountains. But Pocono is an hour and a half away. Lime Rock is an hour. What else we got? Down in Delaware, it's Dover's about 4 hours away. Watkins Glen is 3.5 hours away, and we're about 4 hours from Loudoun. So we can hit any of those in a day trip. So living 20 minutes, that's great.
I'm jealous of your track options. That sounds amazing.
Oh, it is. It is. We've been camping at Watkins Glen for the last 7 or 8 years. It took us 2 years to get into the infield, and we're along the back stretch, just one row, or second row in from the stretch. No, not the back stretch, right near the Jackie Stewart grandstands, which is the second to last turn before the front stretch again. And we've had fun doing that, and that's run its course because my son, he used to go with me. I would buy him tickets every year and for the last 2 years, but he got his press credentials. So he's now a NASCAR photographer, and he shoots for IMSA and a couple motorcycle series. And he did the truck series down in Texas. So I'm kind of like been basically showing up to Watkins Glen by myself. So I'm going to go look for another track to go to. But it's fun.
Nice.
I work at Lime Rock on their big events. The Trans Am Series, IMSA, when they're over there, and at Labor Day weekend, they have what they call their historics, which is old car racing. And a couple of years ago, show car of the theme car for that weekend was Bugattis. And there's guys driving Bugattis, you know, 1929, 1940s. And I said to one driver, when I'm taking him around to get him down to his paddock, I said, these cars are worth a lot of money, aren't they? He goes, yep, you can buy a brand new Bugatti for $2 million, or you can buy my 1930 whatever for $2 million. I said, what about insurance? And he said, Lloyd's of London. And if they find out you're racing, they're only going to give you 25% of the value of your car. And I'm like, whoa. So these guys are driving these vintage Bugattis around the track, and if they wreck it, they've lost 75% of their investment. So that takes a lot of guts to do that. So any of you guys done any, get a chance to do any real life racing, whether it be go-karts or dirt or asphalt or anything?
I have not. I actually purchased a dirt racing go-kart years ago, but never did get it out on the track.
Ah, okay.
I've done like your local carnival go-karts.
Yeah, same thing here. Yeah, the carnival go-karts and then the ones at the mall, the electric ones, which go like, feels like you're doing 800 miles an hour.
Man, those electric ones are wild.
Oh, they're crazy, aren't they?
Yes.
I did at the mall about a couple hours away from me. had you buy the license to drive those, and then you can buy, I don't know, two or three races at a time, because individual races are expensive. They're like over, they're $20. So if you buy, you can get three races for, I think, like 45 or something. So I had three races left on my card, and I did them all in a row. And when I got done, I was nauseous because I did them back to back. And driving home, I had to pull over because it, the inertia and the G forces going around, it's crazy. So I can't imagine what it's like doing that on you know, a real road course or something. So that's my extent of racing, other than the group I work with at Lime Rock. If you meet the quota for number of shifts for each event, they gave us 4 hours on the autocross track. And we had at our disposal one of the Skip Barber racing car, racing school cars. And I looked at that and I'm like, man, I haven't driven standard in 30 years. I don't want to embarrass myself. So I asked the guy, says, can I take my truck out? And he says, sure, we got people that do that. So 0.58 mile autocross track, couple hours in my Tacoma, and the roll on that was like, all right, I've had enough. So I parked it and said, if I'm going to do this, I got to get something real. So maybe at some day. So let's get back to the truck series. First of all, I want to get back to the name and the other logo with Beard Motorsports Racing League. How did you come up with that name? And the logo is just really cool.
So for the original, the Beard Motorsports Racing League, that was my team name prior to making this. It was Beard Motorsports.
Ah, okay.
With the beard. I then created the league and just rolled with the team name as the league name as well. But then prior to our first season ending here, you know, I realized that, hey, I actually created something that's going to be here for as long as it can.
Yep.
And that it didn't explode in season one. It exploded in a good way.
Yeah.
It didn't implode, I should say.
Yep.
So I decided that, hey, I need to keep my team name, because that's my team name still in this league.
Yep.
So I need to keep my team name out of it without changing too much. I just...
Oh, gotcha. That's a good idea.
Use the initials, BMRO, and then change the logo and everything. And now we just say, like, you know, don't ask, don't tell what BMRO stands for.
Oh, that's good. When you started promoting the league, how long did it take to get some traction and get it going? Did you do recruiting races, and how many, was it a slow go like a lot of leagues are, or did you hit the ground running?
Yeah, so we had about a month after I created it. We had about a month until race number one for the duels. And in that month we ran, I would say, 10 or less recruitment races, which we gained some people from there. And then we gained a lot from the previous league that we were in, that came over as well. But we hit race number one at Daytona after the duels with, was it like 43 drivers, Brett?
Oh my gosh.
It's 55.
No, we had 45.
Wow.
But only 43 showed up.
Yeah.
And it came down to, we had that same amount going into Bristol the following week. And at Bristol the following week, we would have to, it was, you know, such a small track that it was qualify in to make it. And
wow.
So out of the 43 that would join, only 35 made it.
Oh, wow.
And it continued like that for a few weeks until we kind of weeded out the ones that weren't serious about racing.
That's incredible that 43 would show up to Bristol, because every league I've been in, when it comes to, and it's normally Gen 7 leagues that I run and a couple truck leagues, when it comes to a short track like Dover, Martinsville, or Bristol, if your average car count during the race is in the mid-20s, like 16 or 17 will show up to that, and it's even less on a road course. So that's pretty good to get 40, try to qualify for Bristol in the second week.
Yeah, I don't think
people didn't make it into that race.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I also didn't even make it because it was so full that my computer was just lagging and I didn't even make it into that race because the track was just so crowded.
Yeah. I've done a couple money races in the past, and to make sure that I had to could get in because, you know, I'm like running the race and race control, what I would do like 10 minutes before the race would start, I would change the race time to start to like 3 minutes earlier just so I could be sure that I would get in, because I've heard guys have promoted races in the past and they will say, where's the race guy? He couldn't get in because so many people signed up to run.
Right. And that's the one thing I'm looking at, you know, jumping into this whole, we're going to talk about here a little bit, the donation, the Toys for Tots is, you know, hoping that we can get enough people, but make it heats because we don't want 40 plus cars on Las Vegas.
Right. How many entries do you have so far, and when did you start planning this race?
So far, I think we got 11 so far, and really just started planning on it here about 2 weeks ago, roughly.
Oh, that's cool. Now let's start. How did you come up with the idea for that? And is this something you've done in the past? And explain to me what the format's going to be, how that's going to run.
So I moved here to Southern Kentucky from Indiana about 3 years ago when I finally got my career job as a house, an architect, but they call me a truss designer instead of having to go through the whole architecture thing.
Oh, okay.
So I design and build houses into 3D models for contractors and builders to build it on the actual land.
Well, that's cool.
So prior to that, I had my first son when I was 20 years old, and at that point I was working, you know, pretty much any fast food job that I could get, and it was like one of those things where you work it for a little bit, get tired of it, quit, you know, live on that paycheck, get another job, work it, quit. And so I was never really able to get my son any Christmas presents or anything, and I felt like my family was always giving him stuff, and I felt so low for years. And then I met my wife, we got married, we moved down here to Southern Kentucky, Tennessee area, got my job in Tennessee, you know, and we have 3 kids now.
Ah, cool.
And we're able to, you know, finally provide everything that we need, plus a little bit more. And I always, the last few years, have gone through my kids' toys and prior to Christmas, and we go buy 2 big totes. We fill them with the old toys because they're going to get new toys here in about 45 days. And we donate them to a church or a family in the community that needs toys that can't supply them for their kids, just like I was at that point.
Yep.
And I just decided that, hey, I got a league here. We've got a great showing. I mean, we've got 35 drivers in our A trucks and 30 in the Bs. Got plenty of people. I've got something started good. So why don't we pick Toys for Tots, or it was going to be Toys for Tots or Salvation Army or a church.
Yep.
And let's just make some sort of like charity race and have a buy-in and see how much money we can raise and give to those charities so other kids can have Christmas as well.
Well, that's incredible. Congratulations for doing that. And are any winners, like anybody on the podium, is it just bragging rights, or do they get a little anything for recognition?
So what I have structured at now, which is, it might change, it might stay the same, but right now the winner of the race gets either $20 or they get a piece of BMRL merch.
Cool.
Whatever their choice is.
Yeah. And if anybody wants to buy any of the merch, where do they go to get that, and what do you have to offer there?
So right now, until we know like where we kind of stand with, you know, how popular it gets. But right now, if you visit bmrleracing.printify, it's on a Printify website.
Oh, okay.
There you can find there's a sticker with our logo, as well as a t-shirt with our logo. And then we have our season one championship, kind of like a bragging rights shirt. with our season one champ on it.
Ah, okay. I was perusing around Googling Beard Motorsports, and I actually saw a t-shirt with the old logo on it. Is that still available out there?
That's for my team.
Okay.
There was a website. I took it down right now since it's no longer a team website. It's going to be a league website.
Ah, okay.
So there was a design out there for my team when I was pushing that more instead of...
Okay.
Now I've got the league to push.
Yeah, it's amazing what stays out there on the internet after you think you take it down, isn't it?
Right.
It's all kinds of stuff. Brett, do you run with a team in the league?
Yes, I do.
And
I run with a Second Amendment in the league.
Okay.
I've got a few guys in that league or in that team with me. We didn't do as hot as we wanted to during the league this season.
Gotcha. Prior to that, how long have you been running with teams while you're racing, and did you find it to be a big help as opposed to running solo?
I started running leagues running teams in the prior league that me and Chris were in together. That was the first time I'd ever been in a league that did teams. And it's awesome. It is so much better. You have so much help at different areas of the track. The guys do what they can to help you, whether it's a little push or maybe a block for you.
Yeah.
And we definitely took advantage of that this season.
Cool.
So it definitely helps having teammates out there, not just on the plate tracks. It helps at the short tracks.
Yes.
The mile and a half. Man, it helps everywhere. And it's nice having some guys you can trust in there.
Yeah.
Because... in our Discords, we have our own separate team channels that we go into.
Got
so it's just us communicating with each other. We don't really communicate much in the session unless there's something that needs to be called out.
Right.
So it's really just us communicating with each other. And it's really nice having those teammates in there to help you out and calm you down if you get upset or hype you up or whatever you need.
Yep. The driving abilities of your teammates, are you all pretty close, or do you have like on, I guess if you're doing the AI racing aliens and then beginners?
I'm going to say my teammates are better than I am for sure.
Okay. And
my teammates are a lot better than I am. One of them is a phenomenal qualifier. But we're kind of scattered. We've got one guy that's really good, then one guy that's kind of intermediate. Then I feel like I'm down lower, but we're kind of across the board there.
That's like the team I was running on, Joe Sixpack Racing, which was the league I ran, started I think about 3 years ago, and we were in the 802 Cup Series. And those are the guys that took over my league, because I just had enough. It just got so stressful, and all the infighting that happens and stuff like that. After a couple seasons, so I said, all right, guys, I'm going to take a break. You guys can take it. So I started a team, kept the team name, and everybody in the race is asking, well, it's your call, Greg. What do you want to do? I said, no, wait a minute. I'm just the team owner. You're the one with the 3,000 I rating. Mine's 1,100, so I'm going to do what you do. This is just a place for us where I can keep the name going if I want to do something with it later on. So, and it definitely was a huge help. And similar to you, driver abilities all over the road from me on the four drivers we had on the team. I think I was probably qualified the worst, finished the worst. But the advantage there is when you have drivers spread all over the track and not all up front or not in the back, if one of your guys is up there in the front and you're towards the rear, you can kind of tell them where the lap traffic's going to be when they come around. And they can tell you where the wrecks are in front of you. So that's what I find the advantage of having drivers all over the place. Because if you're all running next to each other than when we going to pit, you kind of lose that perspective. So there's advantages to both, I would say.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure.
Yeah. Now, Chris, in your league, do you run in the league? Or do you just do race control and admin work?
So in our A trucks, I do run in that series. I have an admin on payroll for the A trucks. He does our race control, everything. And then in the B truck series, that's on Tuesday nights, I actually do the broadcasting for that. And we have another admin from our A trucks that does the race control for that race.
Got it. Tell me about your broadcasting operation. What's the name of it, and what platforms do you broadcast on?
So we broadcast on YouTube. You can find it at BMRL Network. Right now, we do our Tuesday night series for the B-Trucks, and then as well as I've taken on two different leagues.
Excuse me.
One of them is actually one of my teammates from the A-Trucks. He has his own league where I do broadcast for him on Wednesday nights. And then I broadcast for another league called Old Guy Racing on Thursday nights for their truck series. So I took on those two just to make a little bit of extra money to put into the league.
Sure.
For as far as like prizes and stuff.
And what do you charge other leagues for broadcasting?
I like to, that's the one thing that I always came across on Facebook while looking for leagues, and there's leagues that charge, upwards of 60, 70, 80 bucks for a session. And you pretty much, it might be a little bit better than what the $10 or the $20 guy can offer.
Sure.
But really, it's all the same. And so
I
just typically I'm charging $20 an hour, $30 for two, and $10 for every hour pretty much after that.
Yeah. So you're not getting rich on it. It's beer money, and you're covering your expenses there.
Right.
So when you get the guys, we were looking at one of our leagues, and we came across somebody that was highly recommended across the pond over in London. And looked at them, and they were like $175 a race for two broadcasters, and it was $125 for one. I'm like, they were really good, but that's out of everybody's, number one. We're down here scraping for free stuff. Maybe you can get an affiliate with something like one of the seat manufacturers or Butt Kicker, where if anybody uses your code, they'll send you 25 cents back or something like that. So, and it takes a lot of time to do good broadcasts, and those broadcasts probably are worth the $100, but just there's no way to pay for them. So that's...
No.
Yeah. Because there's one guy, he runs one of the bigger setup shops out there, and he did one of our money races, and phenomenal. It was absolutely a phenomenal work that he did, and he was by the hour, something like that. And I think by the time I got done with it, with the pre-race, the post-race, the interviews, and the race, it was like $118. And I'm like, well, we're not doing that anymore. So well worth it. But I went back to the, like you said, the $20 to $40 guys. So, like you said, it's like the entertainment world. Like I said, I was doing talk radio earlier, and it was an incredibly small market, just 2 hours away from the biggest radio market in the world. And up here, if I was doing it full time, which I wasn't, you'd be lucky to make $30,000 a year. Yet the guys doing it 2 hours south in New York are making millions. So yeah, same thing at iRacing. It's tough to get sponsors, and it's tough to make money broadcasting. So you tend to just do it for the love of doing it.
Right, and that's what I've noticed after joining iRacing and leagues, is that broadcasters in iRacing is a very, very needed thing out there.
Yeah. What kind of software do you use for broadcasting?
Actually, I use SDK.
Okay. SDK is incredible. They've got everything. That's what we use in Midwest Motorsports. And I do some commentary on the truck races on Friday night, and I race in their Cup Series on Sunday. And one of the broadcast guys, well, I want you to do the cameras and take over some of the production. And I'm watching the SDK stuff on the screen, and there was like 15 different little panels blinking and this and that. And I'm like, whoa, dude, you got to take me. I said, much closer to senior citizen than I am, a techie, nerdy high school kid. It's going to take me an hour to learn each one of those screens, so we better take it slow. So SDK is pretty in-depth. Do you use everything they offer, or what's the menu you have with them?
So I don't use every little thing that they have. I kind of just have my own, choice of things that sure. I want on the screen.
Yeah.
And to use, so I use like anything from like the tower to the slider. I think it's called a slider.
Yep.
On the top of the screen, the slide bar. And then I use like your driver info on the plate races I like to use, or plates and road courses I like to use the driver map, or like the track map.
Yep.
On the screen as well as logo placements.
Yeah, that helps. Do you run replays on Rex at all?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So SDK tells you when there's a wreck somewhere. Is that how it works? And then you click on that, and then you can adjust at what point before and after the wreck you want to show.
Yeah. So SDK has a box on their main screen that the broadcaster has to look mm-hmm. at. It has like all the drivers' names, how far behind the leader they are, what place yep. they're in, what's their I rating, when's their last pit stop, how long is their pit stop, and then it has your sidebar of all the menu options for your overlay.
Okay.
And then it has another sidebar that has every single lap, what happened on that lap. It doesn't show incident points, but it shows if a driver made a pass on that lap, green flag was out, when the yellow flag was out.
That's cool.
This driver crashed, this driver is off track, this driver is back on track. And so you can kind of scroll through there, find your yellow flag, double-click on it,
yeah.
and get your camera set up to where you want it.
Ah, that's cool, because what we have, for instance, last night was the truck race, and it was at Road America. And I'm trying to think, the broadcast, there's one guy that runs the cameras, then there's a producer, and then there's two guys doing commentary. I kind of do the color commentary. I can do talk radio, and I can do podcast easy, but I'm finding it very difficult to narrate what's going on the track live. So I just told my announcing partner, I says, you do the main stuff. I says, I'll do like the color commentary, and I'll scroll down the data on the lap times, because I've got the timing thing from SDK. They send me a link to that, and if I see anything down on the bottom or something interesting to say, I'll say that. But it's totally different when you got to call something live versus sitting down and planning out a podcast or a talk show. So kudos for doing that. Brett, how do you see your season coming up in season two for your team? First of all, your team, do you do get together and do any practice sessions before the race each week?
Not really. We don't as a team. We more do that stuff as a league.
Okay.
We try to host a few practice races every week as a league, so everyone can get in there and kind of run together.
Yeah.
Because you might not always run too great with your partners, but you might run great with someone else out there. So it's nice to get in there and communicate. And
yep, that's true.
See how other people are going to handle that track and how they're going to do during the race.
Yeah.
But I hope to have a good season coming up. Really, as long as I finish the race, I'm happy, man.
Yeah, same here. I usually will we get Midwest on the Cup Series. I think we've been averaging about 25 or 26 cars. I'll usually qualify 10th to 15th, and I'll usually finish in the same place. So what I say is, if I finish in the top 10, I'm happy. And if I finished in the top 5, either I cheated or the scoring's wrong. So that's where so it's more getting out there. So before the race starts and you're either practicing or qualifying, based on where you're qualifying, does your team talk strategy then? And do you change strategy during the race?
If it's a plate track, we're just talking strategy.
Yeah.
And during the race, every track we're talking strategy, but the plate tracks, it's a constant strategy thing from before qualifying till the last lap of the race. But as for the regular ovals. That's not plate tracks.
Yeah.
There's not much strategy that really goes into it until green flag's underway and we're talking about how our tires are doing, how much fuel we're using, trying to compare off of each other so we can kind of plan out our pit cycles around cautions and different things.
Got it. And your stage breaks, are there cautions for those, or is it all green flag unless there's a wreck?
Yeah, there's going to be cautions for those. Okay. So we're only going to have one stage break. We do 150 miles or 75% in the A-trucks.
Yep.
And so we're going to have our first and only stage break, 25% in on okay. each track.
Yep. We did something similar to that. Some of the admins, when they came up with the idea of doing a stage break, or actually just call it a competition caution, but it's basically the same thing. We didn't do any points for stages. And I was like, no, I'm not really in favor of that because I can't stand watching it on NASCAR. Not so much in the Cup Series, but like on the Truck Series. If stage one break is, let's say the stages are like 30 laps each, and sometimes the stage break takes 7 laps, so you're losing 20. I was soured on it because Cup and Truck and Xfinity, you can lose 20 to 30% of your next stage just driving around, especially on a smaller track. So I said, well, sell me on it. And I finally agreed. And then we were trying to come up with a percentage and they wanted to do 50. And I was like, no, 50. And the idea behind that, the stage break, was if somebody is a newer driver, because we were a casual league, and they wrecked, it would give them a chance to catch up. And I'm like, yeah, but if you're doing it at the 50% or later, that kind of penalizes the good guys. So why don't we just back it up? And we did it at about 30%, so similar to yours. And they wanted to even back it to like 20%. And I go, no, too much can happen in the first 20%. So we kind of settled between 25 and 30. That's why I ask you what you did with your stage break. So it gives a guy who has a wreck a chance to catch up, but it doesn't penalize the good drivers, because any later at 50%, why even bother racing the first half of the race, really?
Right. And I mean, it also, anywhere after, I think 30% kind of just throws away strategy.
Yeah.
At that point.
How do you set your fuel and tire changes? Do they change each race, or is it the same, or do you change it per track?
So all races are the same. Well, as far as fuel, every race is the same, and we do 60% fuel.
Okay.
And then as far as tires go, we kind of just, you know, base it off of the laps on that track and how long that track is. So typically, like your Las Vegas, you know, we do 100 laps at Vegas. Mm-hmm. We're going to do about 3 sets of tires because we know that, hey, Vegas is going to eat tires about 30, 40 laps.
Yep.
So we do 3 on those. Like Daytona, your plate races, we do usually 2 because you barely even need to change one.
That's true.
For 80 laps at a plate race, I mean, you can do 80 to 100 laps on one set of tires and still be as fast as everyone else.
That's true.
So we just kind of base it off of the track, the laps, and the mileage.
Yep. And your A series is no quick repairs, and how many in the B series?
B series gets 1.
Okay. That's, yeah, I think we were doing 2, and then I decided to just to make it 1, because once we got a bunch of drivers together after a couple seasons, everything went pretty well, and 2 just gets to be just too many after a while. But 1 makes you a much safer driver, and when you get a little bit of damage, do I take my quick repair now, or do I just sit in the pits for 20 or 30 seconds and eat down that repair clock? So it does add a little bit of strategy. Now, with the 60% fuel, have you ever run into a situation where it comes really close to the stage break, like a lap too early or a lap too late? And has that ever been an issue?
So we haven't actually run the stage breaks yet. We did our first one on our B truck series, and that one went fine. They did 60% at Atlanta Speedway.
Yep.
The new configuration, stage break, it was 80 laps, so stage break was at lap 20. And they made it the whole way with their 60% fuel. Mm-hmm. So at least for that race, it went well. The rest is just going to be, I guess, just a trial and error at where we stand.
Yep.
So I think our first two races are going to be a pretty good, sight on how it's going to go with Daytona and then Las Vegas as the second race. So I think, your super speedway and then your mile and a half are going to really tell us, like, hey, we need to
tweak it a little bit.
Tweak the stage break.
Yeah. Okay.
Brett,
on your driving strategy, even though it's fixed series, there are a couple things you can do, like offset, steering ratio, and brake bias. Do you tweak those with anything per track, or just run with what you feel comfortable with all the time?
Mostly I run with what I feel comfortable with all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I do on some of these short tracks or these places that really wear out your tires. I will adjust the brake bias slightly throughout the race or throughout the runs. But besides that, there's not really a lot I do. I run a direct drive wheel, so I do also adjust my force feedback per track. Try not to wear out my arms too much, especially if it's a long race, because some of these direct drives, man, they
hurt.
Whooping on you.
Yeah.
Me and Chris, we both run Moza, and we love our Moza wheels.
Yeah.
We both have the R9 with the CS wheels.
But
they'll put a whooping on you if you're not careful and don't set it
right. Yeah, that can happen. What I learned on the force feedback was just go out there, run a couple laps, and then click on auto, because I'm not technically savvy enough to make that many changes. And, when you're changing your brake bias, do you do it off the black box or do you have a button box to do it with?
So my wheel actually has a dial for brake bias.
Oh, lucky you.
Yeah. So it's just, I think it's like 0.25 per click.
Okay.
So it's pretty nice being able to do that during the race.
That's a definite advantage there. Yeah. I'm still...
Oh, yeah.
I got a nice rig set up. It's all, we started out, my son was the first one to get into it, and he had, the $50 wheel and pedals that you clamp onto the dining room table and you race on a laptop. So then we bought a,
how I started.
Oh,
that's how I started also.
Yep.
Thrustmaster T150. All Facebook used for nothing.
Yep. And then I finally bought a better seat because I started doing it. I said, there's no way with my back, with the metal rods holding my back together, that I'm going to sit in a dining room chair and race. So I bought something off Amazon. It was an open wheel setup manufacturer, and still have it. Still run a G29 or 290, whichever. I'm just comfortable with that wheel, but I did upgrade to Club Sport pedals, and that was a huge difference. So I'll mess around. I'll do the auto force feedback. Every once in a while, I'll change the brake bias, but only pre-race or in the pits or something like that. I'm not coordinated enough to click on a black box and stay on the track at the same time. But I do have a button box for turning off or changing the fuel strategy and quick repairs and stuff like that. It's just a little keypad for $10 off Amazon that sits right next to on the back of my computer within arm's length, with a little chart saying what's what. So that's about as fancy as I get, but it's certainly a lot of fun.
Man, those pedals, people don't realize it, but pedals make a massive difference.
I couldn't believe the difference it made, because I'm like, in the Monday Night League, one of the guys, he races all the time in dirt and asphalt. He's got a couple real tracks that he drives on, and he says, I said, well, you must have some really nice wheel or something like that. He goes, nope, I got a Logitech G29, and the only thing I did was upgrade the pedals. He said, because I don't do anything with force feedback. I turn it off most of the time because I don't want to feel in my feet what I should be feeling in my butt. So and the other guy that was on at the same time, he's he works for Ed Carpenter Racing in the Indy Series as a painter. And he said, yeah, I'm around these guys all the time, and I think I still have my original Thrustmaster, etc. So it just shows that no matter if you're a pro driver or an amateur, it's all the talent, and the equipment helps a little bit, But if you're comfortable with what you're driving with, you might as well stay with it. I can't see ever upgrading my wheel. It's just what I've been racing on for 7 years, because if I got a new wheel, number one, reprogramming it and getting all the buttons back in order would probably take me about a month and a half with my technical expertise. So, so in case you're just tuning in, this is the Sim Racing Podcast. I'm Greg Dreis, your host, and we have Chris Mayo and Brett Vinson from BMRLE Racing Series. We're talking racing, and I want to get back to what the original scope of this talk was and talk about a special race they have coming up on December 9th, just a little less than a month from now. December 9th, 2023, 7 p.m. Central Time is practice, and it's 8 o'clock green flag. And what is it? It's Trucks at Las Vegas. $10 to get in, and the cool thing about it is all the proceeds go to Toys for Tots. And as you know, everything is incredibly expensive, and there's a lot of people that go through the holidays without gifts. And it's one thing if you're a parent and get the guilty trip and can't, which is a legitimate guilt trip. I've been there and can't afford to get what the kids want, but when you go back to school and everybody's sitting around and then the teacher asks what everybody got for Christmas and then some kids don't even raise their hand and sulk, it's not the kid's fault. And it's not even the parent's fault a lot of time. It's just how the cards break and how the deals break. There are times in your life when you need help and there's times in your life when you can give help. And Toys for Tots is the way to do it. And for $10, you can race and know that you're doing well. And if you're out someplace where there's no Toys for Tots and out in the hinterlands, like where I am, we have the Salvation Army kettles starting up pretty soon at all the local Wally's Worlds. But if you want to help the kids, $10, Toys for Tots. And it's the Trucks at Las Vegas, and all proceeds go to Toys for Tots. For more information, just look up BMRL E-Racing Series online on Facebook. There's a Discord and everything. And if you just want to not even race and then send them a donation, the PayPal is BMRL Toys for Tots. Did I get that right, or is there any dots in there? Because my eyeglasses are not reading your
the small print. Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. Okay. So even if you don't want to race and you just want to send in a donation and, you know, hey, let's say you can afford $5, not 10 for some reason, just send a donation to PayPal, BMRL Toys for Tots, and you'll support this race and make sure that kids get presents during the holidays. Guys, is there anybody you want to thank, sponsors or anything, before we wrap up here? Anything else you want to say about the charity race coming up and any information that I didn't get?
Yeah, so to the sponsor thing, I definitely want to thank Long Design. It's helping support our broadcast this next season for the A-Trucks, as well as Admin Box, who actually we just got last week for this season for the whole league itself. We have discount codes through them. But yeah, the Toys for Tots, yeah, anyone is welcome to join. If you want to find, there's a Google Drive that you need to fill out in order to sign up. It's going to ask you a few questions like your iRacing name, your email, whether or not you donated. So there is going to be that PayPal link for people that want to sign up to drive on that Google Doc. So just copy and paste that into your browser, donate the $10, click yes that you donated. And before the race goes green, probably that Thursday or Friday, I'm going to send out a mass email to all the ones that signed up with the password to the race.
Oh, cool.
Like you said, if anyone doesn't want to race but they still want to donate, yeah, just go to our PayPal. You can find that on our Facebook as well. It's a whole separate PayPal from our league. It's its own thing. The funds are going to go directly into Toys for Tots as soon as that race is over that night. But yeah, also you can tune into the broadcast. Myself and Brett, we're going to be broadcasting that race that night. And we're glad to take donations throughout the whole broadcast. And just want to see what we can raise for these kids this year.
Cool. And I guess
if you are an admin.
I guess the one question I had is where do they find the information to sign up? You mentioned a Google Doc. Where do they find that?
Just go to our Facebook page. It's you can either search Beard Motorsports Racing League or you can search BMRL eRacing.
Cool.
You just go to our Facebook page. You can find us in the iRacing League Facebook page, iRacing community. I make posts about it once a week. Looking for people to sign up and come out and drive with us. So far, we've raised $138.
Ah, excellent.
We have 11 people signed up. So look forward to seeing everybody out there.
Yeah, and I think the views on the promotions that I've been running for this podcast, 2,400 people have seen this, and they've seen the Toys for Tots logo in all those. So I started that last Saturday as soon as you gave me the information. And I think I've posted it once and then reposted it three different times. So 2,400 people have seen the ad or the promo, whatever you want to call it, for the Toys R Tots race. So, and I'm going to continue to run that on the podcast coming up, like on the opening page and closing page, if that's okay with you, if I continue to promote it for you.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, and I can send you a link to the PayPal as well as...
Oh, excellent, yeah.
The link to the Google Doc.
Great. And Brett, do you have any finishing words?
Any of my finishing words.
Or whatever whatever you say. Any closing comments?
And you can't make the race, we are happy to still take your money. Your money is still going to go to the kids. It's still going to pay for some toys for these kids. So if you just want to send some money and you can't make it, that's fine. Whether it's $1, $10, if you want to send $100, it's all going to a great cause, and we appreciate any support we get from anyone out there.
Okay, yep, I just got that link there, Chris. Thanks a lot. Chris Mayo, Brett Vinson from BMRLE Racing Series, Toys for Tots charity race coming up December 9th, 2023. 7 p.m. lobby opens for practice. 8 p.m. Central is the green flag. Trucks at Las Vegas, $10 to get in. Information is on their Facebook page. Just look for BMRL Racing Series and fill out the information, or just send them a donation at PayPal, BMRL Toys for Tots. Gentlemen, thank you very much for coming out. Good conversations, and hope to talk to you again in the future.
Thank you for having us. It was a fun and new experience.
Alrighty.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having us here, man.
All right. Have a good day, guys. Enjoy the weekend.
Thanks, you too.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. You too.
And once again, BMRL charity event Saturday, December 9th, 2023. That's coming up in just a little under a month from now. 7 p.m. Central Time. Toys for Tots charity race. Trucks at Las Vegas. All proceeds go to Toys for Tots. And you can fill out the information at BMRL eRacing Series. Look them up on Facebook. Or if you just want to make a donation, if you just happen to tune into the podcast or find out about it, or can't race that night because you got something else going on, donations are gladly accepted at BMRL Toys for Tots. To get your message out to 10,000 iRacers every month, do we have that many viewers? No, but our promotions reach that many. We do currently two different league podcasts. On Monday night, we do the podcast for Midwest Motorsports. Tuesday night is Rolling Thunder Racing Series and an occasional extra podcast like this one today. And Monday night, we'll be doing another podcast for a charity race that will be going to Feed America and Barks, which is the Baltimore Area Center for... I forget the acronym is, but it's for stray animals in the Baltimore area. And that will be with Bo Condon and Justin Clapper, who have done some other offbeat races, endurance races, such as the 24 Beers of Daytona or Licorna Seca instead of Laguna Seca. But they're doing something real cool here. They've both been on the podcast before. And Justin Clapper is NASCAR pit crew member in Truck Series. So we'll promote your race for you and any other things you want to do. But if you want to advertise with us, well, $10 will get your message out to race fans for 1 week, or $20 you can sponsor your event or league or broadcast or paint shop for the entire month. And what do you get for that? Your ads will be shown at least 3 times per episode and at least 1 live mention. We won't pack them in the back. We'll put them on the front, in the middle, and at the end, as well as your ad will appear in all our weekly promotions that we do. So if you want some more information, just look us up on Facebook, the Sim Racing Podcast. Google that and get some information to you. Other than that, just give us a holler. And if you want to find out more about the Sim Racing Podcast with your host, myself, Greg Dreis, it's available on Twitch, Spotify, YouTube, and all the major podcast flat platforms. We broadcast live on Twitch, twitch.tv/Greg Dreis. Upload to YouTube immediately after the broadcast, and then we download the audio and do our magic as much as technically I can do, which ain't much. And then it gets uploaded to Spotify and all the other major podcast networks. Thanks again to Chris Mayo and Brent Vinson. And just a reminder, December 9th, 7 p.m. practice, 8 p.m. green flag drops for trucks at Las Vegas. Toys for Tots race, $10 to get in, or you can make a donation anytime on PayPal at BMRL Toys for Tots. That's it for today. We will catch you again Monday night at 7 p.m. with Thunderclap Racing, talking about the charity race they've got coming up for Feed America and a Baltimore area Stray Animal Rescue Foundation. And that will be at 7 p.m. on Monday night. And then 9 p.m. Monday night is the Midwest Motorsports Podcast. And then Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, the Rolling Thunder Racing Series Podcast. I'm Greg Dreis, your host. Until then, we'll see you on the track, and thanks for watching.